to share, I'm just going to read Ezekiel 47, and then I'm going to read some of the scriptures and the thoughts that God has given me over the last 2 weeks for me, and I believe for us as a church. So Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 2. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw the bank of the river, very many trees, on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen," that's us, "will stand beside the sea from Engedi to Eneglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." What a beautiful picture. I'm not going to go back to that scripture, so we can park it. If you can just plant that scripture in your mind and in your hearts, this picture of this river, and it's a picture of the gospel going into the world, and it's a river that we've been entrusted with as well. So there's so much to speak about, but we're just gonna look at a few things. But first of all, I believe that God is calling us into the river. That's the first thing he's calling us into, is the river. And you know, for many of us, we may not be familiar with what it feels like to be in the river. We may think we are. We may think we're in the river because we do stuff. We may think we're in the river because we read stuff, because we're part of. But there may not be intimacy, and God is calling us to a level of intimacy and a level of depth that we may not be able to fathom, and I don't think we can fathom that. But he wants us to come to him with a heart that is undivided. Because, you know, we circle with that, eh? With being intimate, because we want to let go of some things and we want to hold on to other things. Our family, our grandkids, our chutes, our things, whatever it is, our talents, our abilities, we want to hold on to these things. And God says, "I want you to come without a divided heart. I want you to come." And such is the extent of the intimacy that I desire with you, that if you seek me with your whole heart, and we'll find the scripture in Jeremiah, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. But you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. What a beautiful picture of a God that says, just seek me and you'll find me. I will avail myself to you. And I'm hoping that we'll see a little bit just now that God is hoping that we'll avail ourselves to him as well. In our serving, in everything. And it's such a beautiful thing. Undivided affection is what God wants. And, you know, sometimes we really do struggle, like I said just now, this way, that way. I won't come with everything. There's certain things that I'll sort out, Lord. I'll come to you at this event. I'll push in here. I'll push in there. But God says, alles. Alles. Bring it. Everything. All of you. There was a time when Elijah was fed up and irritated. And he says to the people, how long will you go on limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people didn't answer him a word. He's saying to them, guys, come on. Stop going in between the two. If it's Baal, then go with Baal. If it's God, then go with him wholeheartedly. I just love this. This is one of the first scriptures that got me into this intimacy. The Lord is wanting intimacy with us. Psalm 42. Such a beautiful scripture. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist is crying out, my soul thirsts for you. When will I see you? When will I come face to face with you? I want intimacy with you, nothing more. And that's what this river is beckoning us to. But it starts at the threshold. Everything is from him. Not from ourselves. Not from our ability. Not from this move of our faith. But in him. In him who says, follow me. In him who says, I will empower you. In him who says, by my spirit. Not by might. Not by power. But by my spirit. He wants us to trust him. And he wants us to come to him. And he wants to come to him with hearts that aren't divided. But it starts at the threshold. Any significant life begins in God's presence. That picture that we saw was so beautiful. It's just life. Life. Even the sea turning to proper water. Fresh water. It's life, and there are trees, and there are fish, and there are fishermen, and there's abundance. Where does it start? At the threshold, in the throne room. That's where it starts. Everything starts there. Not in our effort. Not in our clever schemes and strat meetings for ministries and self-dependence and self-reliance, but in him alone. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sister. But then it's about following. Then it's about following. So the man was taking him and he was following him. And he was going in feet first, then he was going to the knees, and then he was going to the waist, and then he was going to a place, oh, these are hard. Then he was going to a place where He couldn't swim. Well, he could swim, but he couldn't touch the bottom. He was going into a place that he'd never been before. And I want to say, this is where us as living stones get united. And this is what excited me and almost made me emotional during worship, thinking of onward Christian soldiers, us as soldiers, marching us to war, following him. Because it's us as a people saying, come on, let's all go. Those that are just the soles of their feet are in the water. That's good. Come. Those that are up to their waist, come, all of us. There's no condemnation because some are at their knees and some are at their ankles and some are at their waist deep. I think we ascribe that to ourselves. I don't believe God. I think it's a lie that we put on ourselves. In fact, I think we put it on other people in a good way. You're that that guy that preach that prays in Afrikaans. Yo, he must be up to yay in the water. Jacques. Amen. Straight from his mouth to the ear of God. We need men like him who are swimming in the river. Yeah, and you guys and your ankles, don't worry about Sunday school and stuff. Help a little bit there. You'll come along. What? What? There's no condemnation. There is no comparison. But it's wherever you are and wherever I am, he's calling us deeper still. And you know what I think? We know where we are. When we come to that quiet place and the Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. You know, the other day that scripture took a different turn. It was be still. I am God. Stop your hana. So there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. We're all in the water. And when we come into that quiet place, I really believe that we know where we are. And we can go deeper still. We can go deeper still. And it's a beautiful thing when he calls us to follow him into a deeper place, into that river that is uncrossable. And it's hard. It is hard. Because we have to let go of some things. I don't know if you've ever been at a beach and the river's rising at the river mouth and you've got your stuff, your shoes, your backpack, but to get over the river, you've got to get rid of some stuff. What am I going to leave? What am I going to leave? I've got to swim. Matthew 16, verse 24. There's no biki demakar akviat. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. And so it's following him. It's following him in holiness. Following him in serving. Following him into places we've never been before. You know, a little bit further from that scripture, I think it's Psalm 42 that I started with, speaks to deep, cries out to deep. It is somewhere locked in our heart, we're pleading for something more. And deep cries out to deep. And he wants us to say, I will go where it's hard, beyond my human understanding. Lord, will you take me to a place that transcends my own understanding? And that's hard sometimes. In the workplace, it's hard. In the world, it's actually quite hard. Because often the world looks at us as Christians and they want us to respond to things in a certain way. And it must be in a way that is just. Pick sides, Christian. The Jews or the rest? Palestinians or the Jews? Who's it going to be? Talk to me. And what do we do? What do we say? Well, you can't choose the one side. You can't be for the one side and you can't be against them either. But I tell you what, when you're on campus at Varsity and you're sitting having lunch with a Palestinian, God calls us to love him. And to share our psalmies with her. And to share the gospel. And to bring hope. And when we sit in the shade with a Jewish girl, have a sip of my cool drink. I've got something to tell you. But I'm not picking sides. The way we are called on as Christians sometimes to administer justice in the workplace, with our friends, with our neighbors, is actually of the world. And Paul warns us of that in his letter to the Romans in chapter 12, I think. He says to us, don't conform to the ways of the world. Don't do what they're doing. Follow me. I'm calling you to love people. Don't get involved in the nuts and bolts. Pray for them. Be aware of them. So I don't believe God is calling us to bury our head in the sand. But I do believe he wants us to follow him into places where we don't understand. It does not make sense. And it especially doesn't make sense to the world. If anyone serves me, John 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. This is what it looks like to be a servant of the king. When he turns round, I'm there. Just as if I seek him with my whole heart, I will find him. When I look for him, I'll find him. I grope around sometimes, but I find him when I seek him. And in the same way, when he calls me to follow him, and he turns and he sees, he's there. Come on, boy. Let's go. I can do stuff with you. And I see you scared. Even better. You're going to rely on me now. Nothing of yourself. And that's where control ends, at the uncrossable river. That uncrossable river. That's where we want to be. It's good to be in your ankles. It's good to be in your knees. Because that's where we start. Sometimes we even go back there. Sometimes we might be swimming in the deep. And he brings us back a little. And he says, go into one of these little eddies. Go there. Hear me. Prepare. I'll bring you back when the time's right. And the wonderful thing is, when we go into those places, when we go into the depth that we don't understand, Psalm 63 verse 8 says, you will cling to me. As I cling to you, Lord, you uphold me with your right hand. What a beautiful picture of somebody who's seeking intimacy with the Lord. Maybe doesn't know quite exactly what that looks like, but says, I will go. I'll go with you in the water. I don't mind splashing around in the shallows. I don't mind what people say. But that's where I'm going to be, because that's where you call me. And when you call me deeper, I will go deeper. And when you call me deeper still, where my feet don't touch, it's fine. I will go, because I will cling to you. What a beautiful picture. Sometimes it's not just following. It's clinging. Absolutely clinging. Our little grandson, Joel, he's 6 months. When you pick him up, his feet become like little claws. They cling. His toes curl around your hips like this. And he clings. And guess where my right hand is? Under his bum. He ain't going nowhere. He's clinging, I'm holding. What a beautiful picture of a God who takes his children and he says, come, I'm going to carry you now for a little bit. And we're going to go deeper still, but I want you to come with me. Just a little warning, and it's not a little warning. The swamps. It wasn't a cool part, that, hey? Everything's like, yes, and then you get the swamps. Leave them. They'll turn to salt. I think we all got a bit of swampiness in us. There is a little bit of swampiness in us. And it happens when we seem to find self more compelling and appealing than anything else. We become selfish. We become self-absorbed. And you know, when water flows into a swamp and it doesn't come out, it starts stinking, goes fraught. And it's almost the smell of sin. Because it goes fraught. It makes us fraught. It kills. And I think we all have that little bit of swampiness in us. And God desires us to turn our eyes to him. To repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry following you. Help me with your spirit to come back. Bring me back into the water. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, us saints, what a wonderful thing that we together can encourage each other deeper. Not in a condemning way. Hey, come on. Come along. He will carry you. He will sustain you. And it often comes in the most unholy gesture. Doesn't come in a prayer that sounds very Shakespeare-ish. It sometimes comes in the most beautiful, plain touch. Say, come on, boy. You're okay. You can do this. You've got him walking with you. Keep your eyes on him. Keep following him. And it's when we find ourselves in that space with a community of believers that we can start pulling together as living stones, and we allow ourselves to be chipped and chiseled and shaped so that we fit in perfectly, tight and snug next to each other. We can hear each other breathing. We know the look on someone's face when they're feeling discouraged. And you know, the Lord showed me something the other night during a meeting, and I was actually concentrating in the meeting. But it was the scripture of guarding the deposit. In 2 Timothy 1, I think round about verse 3, Paul speaks about guarding a deposit that has been entrusted to us. He first says, I know that he will guard the deposit that's been put in me. And it sounds strange because it's something that's been put in me, and God will protect and guard that deposit that's been put in me. But then I also have a responsibility to guard the deposit. We all have a responsibility to guard the deposit. And the way I see it, the picture that I had was that as we follow him, and as we go into dark places, and as we cling to him, we can feel his heartbeat, and he deposits something in us. This beautiful gospel, he deposits that in us, in all of us. And as we walk as a community, as we follow him, we have that deposit in us. And it's our responsibility to guard that deposit in each other. I've never seen that. I've never thought of that before. Lord, I will guard the deposit you've put in me. But how about I guard the deposit that's been put in Dan? How about I know Dan so well that I know when that deposit is at risk, and I go to Dan and I encourage him because I love him. And I go to Heinrich and I say, boy, come on. Come on, you can do this. And I go to Nardis and I say, you're looking off. Are you okay? Well, I go to Paul and I grab him by the ear. I've got to reach up. Say, come on, Paul. Come on, Boot. And that's what it looks like sometimes. Because we're brothers and sisters walking together, guarding the deposit that has been placed in us. And it's the beautiful gospel. It's the gospel that each one of us can say, I have been set free. Once I was lost, I was at war with God. But he reunited me with him through the blood of Jesus. I am now at peace with God. Shalom. Jesus said to his disciples, shalom. It's okay, boys, settle down. He said again, shalom, peace be with you. We're at peace. And therefore we can come to him just as we are. Sure, guard the deposit. And the way that we guard the deposit, as Paul says in the letter to Timothy, by the Holy Spirit. Friends, we can't do it alone. We absolutely cannot do it alone. When God said he would give us a helper, he meant a helper. Just as Jax is my helper as my wife, God gave her to me as my helper. Because God knows that I cannot be the man that he wants me to be on my own. And he gives Jax to help me to be that man. And boy, does she. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us. And it's the flow of the river that brings life. It is the flow of the Holy Spirit that brings life. And it's when we stifle the Holy Spirit through keeping our mouth closed, through turning our back, through not being present, through just being indifferent. God the deposit. Beautiful gospel. The beautiful gospel. And I'm going to start wrapping up with this. This deposit that has been placed in us is the essence of everything that we are. When Jesus stood on the beach and he said to those two scraggly men, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Boy. Wow. "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He didn't say to them, "Follow me. I see you are good fishermen already and you are this and that, and therefore I will use you." He didn't say that. He said, "Follow me." In fact, that was the only qualification necessary, to follow me. "And I will make you." Lads, I'm the one that does the making. Don't try and get your act together. Don't try and be special. Don't try and look all holy. Don't try and do anything. Just follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what he calls us to. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, to set the captives free. And he says, "That's why I was sent. And as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." Dachatye. And you can, because I've been there. Follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There's a world of darkness. There's a world of people that are lost. Do we weep for these people? Do we condemn them? The Palestinians, the Jews, the Iranians, all of them, our neighbors, our colleagues at work, people we walk past in the passageways, people that we interact with as they sign off requisitions for us or whatever they do. It's a world that is lost. And he's calling us to follow him, and he will make us fishers of these people. So friends, let's follow him. George PM, let's follow him with everything that we have. We can trust him. John 7, verse 37 to 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Let's drink of him. If you're here today and you feel like you've never drank of Jesus, this terminology is foreign, just stick around. Someone will pray with you. But for those who believe, streams of living water will flow from us into a world that so desperately needs it. Transcending boundaries, transcending race, transcending borders, living waters. And Ezekiel saw that, bringing life, bringing hope, bringing joy. I want to end with this scripture that the Lord showed me of George P.M. when we are in the water and we are following him. Psalm 144, verse 12. "Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision, our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There'll be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Not so that we can be prosperous. Not at all so that we can be prosperous, so that we can give, so that we can serve, so that those living waters can flow through us into a world that desperately needs it. George PM, let's follow him. Are we prepared to go into places that we don't know, that we're afraid of? Even with him, intimacy, come on. Living stones, let's encourage each other. Let's stir each other up. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord, with the Holy Spirit in us. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war, into the darkness. He brought you out of the darkness into his light, and he sends you back into the darkness. Come on. George PM, let's flow into this world. It's a world that's dark and lost. Let's bring hope that only living waters can. And so, Lord, I pray that as we stand, Lord, as we stand to our feet, that we would acknowledge you as King. Let's stand. If this is for you, then it's a good time to stand. Father, we thank you that we can trust you. That you call us to abide in you, Lord. That you call us to seek you because you desire intimacy with us, Lord. So that you can deposit your beautiful gospel in us, Lord. That armed with your Spirit, Lord, we can go into places and into depths that we never knew possible because we do it with you, Lord. We choose today to follow you. We choose today to follow you. We choose today to follow you, Lord. We choose today to follow you. Take us, Lord, from ankle deep to all the way.